You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we kick off our Advent series with a message entitled Building Hope from Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 5. Let's listen in.
Good morning. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving this weekend. I know we did. We went over to Laura's family's house, her mom's house, and enjoyed time just to be able to relax and be thankful for one another. And in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I wanted to take a second before we get into the message this morning to just let you know that I am thankful for you as a church and the position that you let me fill as a youth pastor here. And I love what I do, and I love being able to share the word and teach our students how to live out that word. And I'm very thankful for that. And second, I would also like to thank Keith for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. Want you guys to realize how grateful we should be to have a pastor, a lead pastor like Brother Keith. And I am very grateful for your support in our student ministry and all the things that we do with them. So thank you very much for that. And this morning we're actually moving into the Christmas season, right? We're in December now. I know some of you probably have had your Christmas tree up since November 1st, but that's okay. It's okay. All the normal people are going to join you in decorating and getting ready for Christmas now. But this is the first week of Advent. We're going to talk about the hope that comes with our Savior today. And Advent is one of my favorite times in the year because it's a time when we get to look forward to the coming of Christ again, as well as look back at his first coming, right, as he came as a child. And it's an amazing ability that we have to look back and really focus in on the reason for the season and focus on why he came, and that being primarily to reconcile us with God. And I know this scripture may seem a little unconventional, a little out of the blue to preach for Advent and preach on hope this morning, but I think it encompasses this full story of reconciliation that Jesus came to accomplish here on earth. So when we start out this scripture in Romans chapter 5, it starts with therefore, and that's where we have to stop for the second, because anytime you're reading the Bible, anytime you're teaching the Bible, I've always been taught and always try to teach our youth that it is very important to stop and look what the therefore is there for, because it's important to understand context when we're reading the scripture. So if we look back in chapter 4 of Romans, Paul is laying out what justified Abraham throughout that whole chapter of Romans. And at this time in the church, there were people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. There were people that didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And the people that didn't believed that there were things that you could do that would get you in, that would put you in right standing with God. And Paul is talking to the church in Rome and to these people, and he's telling them that it was Abraham's faith that was counted to him as righteousness. It was the trust in God that justified him, and it was his relationship with the Father ultimately that justified him, which is good news for us, right? So if you look in Romans chapter 4, verse 23, starting there, it says, "But the words it is counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." It's good news for us that it's that faith, that belief in the Father and belief in Jesus, that we can have that same justification. So continuing, Paul starts in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And just that justification, that's a great aspect of our salvation through Jesus, but that's not all that he gives us access to through this faith, right? Paul continues and he says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And that grace in which we stand, that phrase that Paul uses there is a phrase that would have communicated a permanent, a locked-in place in faith where one can't be removed from. And that's my favorite part about grace, because grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's how I always explain it to the youth. That's how it was always explained to me, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. So through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we have access to the Father, and we have access to the glory of God through our faith in him. And once we are a part of that grace, once we're standing in that grace, there's nothing that we can do to make God love us more. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. And I don't know about y'all, but that's good news for me, because I frequently test the grace of God. I'm a human. I make mistakes. And we don't have to worry about stepping outside of that grace. And with our grace, or with that grace that God gives us, with our feet firmly planted in that grace, we can begin to look at life a little differently. And this scripture, as I read it the first time years ago, I read it and it stopped me dead in my tracks, because I'm reading through and like it's a great message, right? We're talking about being justified. We're talking about grace. We have peace in that grace, and we rejoice in the glory of God. Amen, right? But as you keep going, in the next verse, Paul kind of throws us a curveball. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. And that just, it stopped me. I'm like, I don't know about that. I have a long list of things that I do when I'm suffering, but rejoicing is not on the top. You know, it's maybe not even on the list. So it was something that confused me, and, you know, I had to look into it and really dive into the meaning of what Paul is trying to teach us in this scripture. And I believe it's all tied up in the fact that that grace changes how we look at our suffering. So there are definitely moments in life that we come to. There are things that happen that it seems like everything's falling apart. It seems like the world is ending. And they're hard. It's hard to see how they could be used for our good. But when we have our feet planted in that foundation, that grace, that permanent place that we can't be removed from the love of the Father, it begins to change how we see things. And I was reading a devotion a couple weeks ago from Pastor Craig Rochelle, and he told a story that I feel like explains this point really well. He said, I remember when my youngest daughter, Joy, was barely 4 years old and playing on a friend's backyard zip line. Since she was too small to keep herself from hitting the tree at the end of the line, she smashed her face square into the thick trunk. I can still remember hearing that crack. She fell on the ground, bloody and unconscious. Panicked, I found a pulse, although not as strong as I would have liked. We rushed her to the ER, and the doctors began running tests. Once she regained consciousness, they tried to stitch up the gash in the bottom of her chin, but Joy wasn't having it. I had to pin her down. I was lying on top of her, holding her body and head still while the doctors carefully dressed her cuts and stitched them up. She was sobbing. Daddy, what's going on? Please let go. Make them stop. I want to play. Please, I just want to play. Please don't let them hurt me. But I knew that if she was going to heal properly, she had to go through this. Sometimes God holds like this, knowing what it will take for us to heal properly. oftentimes we can forget that God knows what we need better than we know what we need. God knows what it's going to take for us to heal properly. And sometimes it doesn't feel like something that we want to participate in. It doesn't feel like something that we like. But it's necessary for us to heal properly. And then when we have that firm foundation, we can look at our suffering different. And Paul continues in verse 3 through 5. He says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You see, this was a scripture that gave me such problem when I was younger, because there hadn't yet been things that I suffered through. But as time goes on, life has a way of making that happen. And there are definitely things that I've gone through that I would consider suffering. But I can look back on those things and I can rejoice that God would give me better hope on the other side, right? Because as we go through those things, our suffering produces that endurance, and our endurance gives way to character, and character gives way to hope. And as long as that hope is rooted in the name of Jesus, rooted in the person of who Jesus was, that he came as a baby, grew up, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and rose again in 3 days to justify us of all our sins, then we can have that hope, and that hope won't be shaken. That hope won't go anywhere. You know, there's an old saying that several of you have probably heard, "Calm seas never made a skilled sailor." And I think that's what Paul is trying to point out here in light of our spiritual walk and in light of our lives. Because I promise there's never been a sailor that was excited about going into rough seas. I have an uncle that was in the Coast Guard, and he won't go out on a boat anymore because of some of the seas that he had to go out on when he was deployed. And they never rejoice in doing it. But when they get through that storm, when they get through the rough seas, when they come out on the other side, they know they'll be stronger for it, and they'll be all the better for it. And our suffering can be just like that. Our suffering can be used to build hope when we have a firm foundation in grace through faith and our Jesus, and who Jesus is and who raised him from the grave. And I don't think Paul is trying to make light of our suffering. I don't think Paul is trying to tell us to be excited, because that would be crazy. But I do think that he would desire for us to have the right focus, that he would desire for us to focus on the Father and focus on that grace that he's given us and focus on the glory of the things to come. And in that, we can have hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to open your word, Lord, that we would be able to have ourselves rooted in your grace that you give us through your Son. Lord, and I pray that you would help us to see our suffering in light of that grace, Father, that we would be able to see what is being built, the hope that is being built through the things that we walk through in this life, Lord, and that we would know that we're never alone, Lord, that you never let go of us, Lord. You're always there holding us as we face these things. Father, I pray that you would help us as we walk through this life, Lord, that we would see you in all things. And Lord, that we would be able to grow in our lives, in our spiritual life. And Lord, that we would be able to share you through the suffering that we go through. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thanks for listening, and if you would like to know more about how you can have part of the hope that Jesus gives us, we would love to help you out with that. You can find our contact information in the show notes down below, or you can find them on our website at fbcamericas.org. And tune in next week as we continue our journey towards Christmas.